Oh, it's just not cricket. That's what the fans have been saying online, at the very least. Australia's experiment with their Asian immigrant population. That's a quote. That's how English, or a leading English cricket writer, I should say, too, Shield Berry, very well-known writer, described the batsman Usman Khawaja, who's batting at three for Australia at the moment, in an article about his performance on the last day of the fourth test in Durham. And Berry later said his comment wasn't racist, nor was it meant to disparage the Australian batsman. He said he is simply making the point that Khawaja was the first Muslim to represent Australia and the first non-white since Sam Morris in the 19th century. Does he have a point? Well, no. Andrew Symons represented Australia much more recently than that. But more broadly, is the point stand up? I'm joined now by Australian cricket commentator, veteran and ABC legend Jim Maxwell, who's in England. Jim, is this a fair comment to make?
It was probably a bit clumsy, wasn't it? I mean, there's no doubt that Cricket Australia have attempted to address this lack of ethnic cultural diversity, and certainly in the area of encouraging Indigenous Australians to rise through the ranks. They've done a lot of work with the Imparja Cup up in the Northern Territory and various other initiatives on their, what's it called, their pathways system. And out of that, we're looking at a bowler by the name of Gurinder Sandhu, who's come through very quickly. He was the Steve Waugh medalist for New South Wales at the end of last season. He's a tall, fast bowler. He's been with the Australian A-team in South Africa. So I would keep your eye on him. But, Walid, as you probably know from your own family history, there are plenty of talented sportsmen that come through at teenage level, and their parents often say, no, sport's not the future. Go to the university and get yourself a degree. And there's a lot of pressure on them to do that or go into a family business rather than spend the next 10 or 15 years of their lives trying to become an Australian representative. And that's just the same problem here in England. And I can tell you one personal experience, because my younger son is playing league cricket here, and one of the players in the team is a sensational all-rounder who was born in Pakistan but lives here. And at 18, his parents said exactly that: you need to get a career. And he is a surgeon of some standing in the community, and at 35, the occasional Saturday cricketer. So I think there are a few things that probably count against this process that Cricket Australia are getting themselves involved in. But in the immediate sense, we can look at Ashton Agar, I suppose, because his mother came from Sri Lanka.
Mm. I take all those points, but there is still a marked difference, isn't there? I mean, you're looking at Australia, which has, what, the biggest Sri Lankan community outside Colombo, for example, enormous Indian and Pakistani communities here. And when you compare first-class cricket in Australia to, say, first-class cricket in the UK, the presence of Asian players, or subcontinental players, as we might call them, is far greater historically and then in the test team in England than it is in Australia. I mean, they've had Nasser Hussain as a captain, for example.
Well, that's true. But as I say, I think we need a bit more analysis on why a lot of these talented cricketers at schoolboy level. I played with two outstanding Sri Lankan cricketers when I was at school some years ago. They'd migrated to Australia with their parents, and one of them played in the New South Wales schoolboy side, but both of them ended up as stockbrokers. They didn't press on and play cricket. So I'm suggesting that there's more reasons than just the lack of opportunity to go further up the pole than being ignored, overlooked, or feeling as though they're not part of the system. And I think that's why this needs to be examined a bit more thoroughly before saying that they're not getting the chance that everyone else is getting. And I think that's your inference, isn't it?
Well, I just note that there is a distinction or a difference in the experience of the Australian experience and the English experience. And as you say, I'm sure there are many complex factors towards it. Just before I let you go, though, Fawad Ahmed, the refugee who's now eligible to play for Australia, is he going to play?
Well, he's been picked to play in this 2021 day series that's coming up over here. He's part of an 18-man squad, and I think it's a bit of look and see from the Australian selectors. They want to know whether he's got what it takes playing at the next level to be a possibility to play Test cricket later on. I just want a bit more evidence, a bit more exposure for him. So I think that's a very good thing, given that we, and Australia that is, as a country, have a great history with wrist spin bowling. But in terms of the older Anglo-Celtic players, we don't seem to have anyone pushing up. So I think it's a good idea. As he's now, like Rex Sellers was years ago, been fast-forwarded as an Australian to get that opportunity. So let's see what he's got to offer.
Yes, let's see indeed. It'd be delicious to have a great leg spinner breaking through the ranks. I'm sure we can all agree after watching the Ashes. Jim, always good to talk to you. Thanks so much for sparing some time for us.
A pleasure, Waleed. All the best.
ABC Grandstand's Jim Maxwell, who's in England. He's helping out the BBC while he's there. The drawing room up very soon. A couple of the boys from Mental as Anything, who now go by the name Dog Trumpet, will join us and they will play for us. It will be all sorts of entertaining. Make sure you hang around for that right now, 7:30.